How many of you have ever lost anything before? I know one person who has definitely lost something. Well, what do you do when you lose something? You put forth great effort in order to find it, and you do everything you can to do so. What happens when a person becomes lost? We put forth even greater effort to do everything we possibly can to find that person. On October the 23rd, 2011, an 8-year-old autistic boy by the name of Robert Wood Jr. wandered away from his father while they were at the North Anna Civil War Battlefield Park, 30 miles north of Richmond. His father could not find him anywhere, called the authorities, they called in first responders, 300 first responders showed up, and 6,000 volunteers came to try to find this little boy. He could not speak, he was mute. Somehow he had wandered off into the woods around this park. For the first 4 days, they searched every square inch around that park, all into the woods, as deep as they could go, and they found nothing. The fifth day, about 3/4 of a mile from the park, one volunteer just happened to look and notice a what looked like a little boy in a fetal position down in a dry creek bed. And he, of course, ran over to him. He was breathing, he was alive, but he was in serious condition. And they brought in a helicopter, took him to the Children's Hospital in Richmond, and he recovered. That little boy had been lost, but he was found. In our scripture lesson this morning, we're going to hear about a lady that most of us know very little about, a lady by the name of Joanna. She was lost, but Jesus found her, saved her, and changed her. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to understand the amazing lessons we learn from Joanna. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, we have three verses that lay out for us the three aspects of the mission of Christ. In verse 1, we see that Jesus traveled to the towns and the villages all around Galilee with the apostles and some women, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, the people of Israel needed a little good news. They had been oppressed by the Romans for years. They had been threatened militarily. They had been taxed heavily, and they had been punished severely. And they were hoping that God would raise up a new conqueror who would come with great power and great force, much like that of King David from times in the past, to come and overcome the Romans and bring them into a new kingdom. But what did God do? He sent a humble servant by the name of Jesus, who came in a very different way, a way that sort of turned the world upside down. A humble servant who came with great power, but not physical power. He came with spiritual power to change us from the inside out. Well, even the disciples were a bit confused about Jesus. They wanted a conqueror as well to come and establish an earthly kingdom. They didn't imagine that Jesus was going to establish a heavenly kingdom. Well, in a commentary entitled Jesus Christ, the Real Story, we find these words. The Jews were acquainted with the prophecies of the Messiah. They knew that a Messiah was supposed to come. They firmly believed that the Messiah would be a strong earthly king who would deliver them from their Roman oppressors. In Greek, the word Christos means anointed one, signifying one chosen by God. Well, Herod and the Jewish rulers all understood the title of Christ and that it was synonymous with the phrase King of the Jews. They understood that Christ would be a king, a descendant of David. And when Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And the Pharisees responded saying, "Oh, he's the Son of God, the son of David." Well, Jesus then asked several other people as he went on his travels, and he found the two blind men calling him Son of David. He found the woman of Canaan calling him Son of David. He found the blind men at Jericho calling him the Son of David. And even the multitudes that gathered after the demon-possessed man was healed, they came together as well, and they said, "Could this man be the Son of David?" And then the people who greeted Jesus when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, what did they say? "Hosanna to the Son of David." The people were wanting a son, a king, to come into the world, much like King David had been, and bring in a great new kingdom. Well, Jesus was the Son of David, but not as they expected. He came in a very different way, with spiritual power, the power of love and forgiveness and kindness and grace. Now in verse 2, we see a second aspect of the mission of Christ, that Jesus came to provide physical and spiritual healing for all the people who were lost. And many of them were lost. He began traveling with the apostles, and as he went along, there were women that began to travel with them, and they picked up some along the way because Jesus would actually heal them of their illnesses and their infirmities, and because of their thankful hearts, they would want to go along. Well, one of those women was Joanna, the wife of Cusa. Who in the world was Cusa? Well, the scripture says that he was the manager of the household of King Herod Antipas. Now, if you look up the word manager in the Greek, it can be translated steward or stewardship, which tells us in more modern day language that Cusa was the CFO, the chief financial officer for the kingdom palace, for the King Herod and his ruling party, which means that he was wealthy and that Joanna was wealthy. And that because of being healed by Jesus, she was willing to share her wealth, share her resources, and use whatever she had to help support the mission of Christ. Now, though Joanna had been healed physically, the more important healing was the spiritual healing that took place within her heart. She lived in this environment, this palace of the king. King Herod Antipas was the son of King Herod the Great, who was one of the most evil kings in all of Israel's history. The people hated Herod the Great. And when King Herod Antipas, his son, beheaded John the Baptist, whom the people loved, they began to hate King Herod Antipas. And so Joanna lived in this environment. She was part of the palace environment where there was intrigue and there was manipulation and there were political maneuvers and there were lost people. But when she was healed by Jesus, she wasn't just healed physically, she was healed spiritually, and she gave her heart and everything she had to serving in the mission of Christ. Which means that she loved the people who were a part of that palace environment. And she gave her resources, her time, her energy with a very thankful and responsive and generous heart. I discovered something very interesting in this passage, something I'd never seen before. It seems like I'm always discovering, and that's true for all of us. As you study the Word of God, and you really dig into it and you study it, you'll find lots of things that you've never seen before. And this is one of those things. what I discovered is that Joanna was transformed spiritually. She continued to live in this palace environment that wasn't the best environment, but she continued to share her enthusiasm for Christ, her love for Christ. She did loving things for the people around her. She showed kindness. She showed grace. She did things that actually drew people to Christ. And it appears as though many may have become believers who were part of that palace environment. How do we know that? From Acts chapter 13. Verse 1 of that chapter says this. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, Herod Antipas, and then also Saul. Now, what does that say to us? Who was Manaen? He was just another person that was a part of that palace environment, that lived among all the intrigue that went on there. He must have known Joanna. Joanna must have shared the love of Christ with him in some way, demonstrated that love in some way, and he became a believer. Now, tradition tells us that Joanna actually went and found the head of John the Baptist, because they just took it and threw it out, and found it and went and buried it with dignity and honor. It's possible that Manaen saw that and saw that kind of love and devotion and was moved and touched by that. Now, we know that Manaen, according to tradition, may have actually been the founder of the church in Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire behind Rome and Alexandria. It was over on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. It was a booming city. And when the persecutions began in Jerusalem, many of the Christians scattered and they kind of moved over to Antioch and made that the new center for Christianity. And Manaen, according to tradition, had started the church there, founded it. It was a thriving community, a thriving church. The scripture tells us that it was in Antioch that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. So what we learn from all of this is that Joanna, because of her acts of love and kindness and grace, must have had an influence on Manaen and many others, and that he actually became a believer. He went and founded the church in Antioch, and the church continued to spread and to grow and expand from there. All because she was willing to demonstrate the love of Christ. Now, I'm convinced that Christianity is more caught in our world today than it is taught. I've had numerous theological debates and discussions with people over the years, and you can talk until you're blue in the face theologically about different interpretations and about what we believe about this and that and why one denomination believes one thing and another believes this and it just doesn't all make sense. Why can't we all believe the same thing? We'll always have debates and discussions and arguments about theology. But the one thing we won't have arguments about is the love that we share with one another. When you love someone and you do loving things, kind things, gracious things, helpful things, service-oriented kinds of things, it touches people in ways that words can't do. Some of you will remember I mentioned an individual, it was either last week or the week before, who went to church when he was a kid. His mother made him go, and then when he got old enough, he decided he was not going to go to church anymore. And I said, well, you know, aren't you interested in God? He said, no, I don't care about God. I don't even think there's a God. Wouldn't you like to come to church? No, I don't care about church. But what's happening is I've done some things to try to demonstrate the love of Christ, and some other people in our church here have done some things. And I noticed last week that he seems to be turning a corner. He seems to be moving closer to professing his faith in Christ because of the caring and loving acts that people are demonstrating for him. He told me about something that happened just this last week where one of our members did something special for him, and he said to me, in all of my life, no one has ever done anything to help me. He was really moved and touched by what this person did. And I'm convinced that God is working through our actions of love to draw him to the very throne of grace. And I can hardly wait for him to get there and respond. Well, Joanna expressed Christian love to the people in the palace. And I hope that all of you will do the same and look for people week after week after week whom you can love, whom you can do special things for, whom you can demonstrate the grace of God to, whom you can serve and help. And then watch what happens. God will use your actions and draw them closer to Christ. Well, in the final verse in Luke chapter 8, we see a third aspect of the mission of Christ, and that is that Christ needed support. He didn't work. He didn't have time to work. He was out preaching all over Galilee and Israel, and he needed financial support in order to survive. And so the apostles pitched in some, but these women, and there were many of them that followed along with them, they gave, the scripture says, out of their means. Now we know that Joanna was wealthy, so she probably gave a good bit. What did they do with the resources? How did they use those resources? Well, if you read between the lines in the scripture, you can find a list of lots of things. For instance, Joanna probably helped to give money to provide food for the 20 or so people that were traveling with Jesus. She gave money to provide clothes and sandals and blankets, tents and cooking supplies and personal items, special lodging on special occasions, possibly when the weather was bad, medical supplies for colds and blisters and fevers. Yes, they got sick back then just like we do. Water skins and wine skins in order to carry the water, and the women helped to carry those heavy bags of water because they couldn't just pull into a gas station and get a drink of water when they wanted to. They had to keep it with them. They also provided funds to pay for the Roman taxes and the fees and all the assessments. There are many other things that those resources the women gave helped to provide and enabled the mission of Christ to thrive and for Jesus to be able to do what he needed to do to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Joanna gave generously. She didn't give token gifts. She gave with passion and a heart full of love. She gave what God calls all of us to give generously out of what God has given to us, so that the mission of Christ might always move forward. How about you? Are you giving like Joanna gave? God has allowed us to accumulate a great deal of wealth in our country. We are all considered to be wealthy according to the world standards, which means that we have more than enough to survive on our own, more than enough to give plenty to God's church, and still have enough that we'll never spend it all throughout our lives. So why not give even more to the work of Christ so that more can be done to reach the thousands of people here in our Albany community who are lost, and there are thousands, just like this individual I mentioned a moment ago. People who don't care, people who have not been raised in the church, people who don't have any interest in the church, people who've left the church. We need resources to help reach those folks. I'm sure most of you remember the name Michael Vick. In 2001, Michael was the number one draft choice in the NFL, and he was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. Michael could run the 40-yard dash, which is what we all had to do when we played football. I don't know why they picked 40 yards. But nonetheless, he could run the 40-yard dash in 4.25 seconds. I ran it in 40.25 seconds or something. 4.25 seconds. He is known as the fastest quarterback in the 40-yard dash in NFL history. So when he signed with the Atlanta Falcons, they gave him $62 million, And during the next 3 years, he led them to three division championships. And as a result, in 2004, they upped his contract to $130 million. He was a superhero who had helped lead the Atlanta Falcons to many great victories. But even though he was a superstar, he was lost. 2007, he was convicted for dog fighting and gambling and spent 21 months in a federal prison. And during that time, he came to know Christ because of the help of Tony Dungy. Remember, I talked about Tony a week or two ago. He came to know Christ because of the help of Tony Dungy. Tony didn't just tell him about Jesus. He demonstrated the love of Jesus. He demonstrated the grace of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus. And Michael turned his life around. Christianity is more caught than it is taught. When we lose something, we put forth great effort to find it. When a person is lost, we put forth enormous effort to find that person. An 8-year-old boy was found with the help of 6,300 people. We have thousands of people in our Albany community who are lost. And God needs all of us to give our resources, our time, our efforts, everything we've got, to go out of our way to reach those lost people. Just as we look for the things that we lose, He wants us to look for the people who are lost. He wants us to do what Joanna did and give ourselves completely to the mission of Christ. Joanna put forth great effort to reach the lost because of her love and with all of her resources. And she did it with a glad heart. Are you willing to do the same? If so, why not begin today? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.